Okay, says the Mishnah. I'm going to read the two Mishnahs. A lot of hamshacha to the last sugya. The Mishnah starts off the top of Amud Beis, your Tess Amud Beis. Neme b'kachatzi pruto, togam b'chatzi pruto. If you had a hanor and a chatzi pruto, and you were poigim a chatzi pruto. We learned in the last sugya that in order, anything which has pagam, anything which gets devaluated by use, so in order to be moil, you have to both have hanor and you have to cause a devaluation. What happens if you had a half a pruto of each? Half a pruto of hanor and half a pruto of devaluation. Or you used hektish twice, two objects. One of them you had hanor from a shavah pruta, but you didn't devaluate it. And the other one you caused a devaluation and you didn't cause and you didn't have benefit. The question is, do we link the two? Say, well, you had hanor of a shavah pruta, so the benefit is there. And then we flip it and say, no. On another object of hektish, you didn't have hanor, but you caused the devaluation. So the Mishnah says, "Lo mo'al ad sheyehena b'shava pruta v'yivgam b'shava pruta." You need both. You need to have hanor shava pruta. You need to be poigim b'shava pruta. B'davrecha. Okay. Now, Mishnah says like this: normally, when you moil the hektish, the object becomes chum. So if somebody uses something that belongs to hektish, that cheftza now turns into chum. So technically there can never be redundant me'ila. Because as soon as you have hanor from something, it turns chum. The next guy that uses it, or even you yourself, you use it again, you're using chum. So the Mishnah says, what happens, ein mo'il achamo'il, if you do me'ila after me'ila, there's no me'ila, b'mukdashim, elo, behemu klesharis bulvad. Except for an animal, and a klesharis. An animal meaning a kol, a korban or a klesharis, they don't become chum. Even though you use it, they don't become chum. That is a simplistic way to explain it, but we'll see it's more complex than the simplistic way. Simplistic way is that an animal and a klesharis have kedushas aguf, and therefore kedushas aguf doesn't go off. You can't redeem kedushas aguf. So just like you can't remove kedushas aguf through a pidyon process, so the kedushas aguf doesn't go off through a me'ila process. Me'ila is similar to redemption. Just like a me'ila is a forced redemption. It's a forced pidyon because you use the hekdish and now the Torah forces you to pay for what you used, and therefore that's like a pidyon. Why does it redeem the whole thing? That's a shakasha. Because we find this pechlal by kotchim. We find hegdish of a meya shechila al shavu pruta mechul. We had right. So once you moil the hegdish, once you do the act of meila, and now you have to pay hegdish for the meila. Now the hegdish turns into chul, becomes chul. By kedushas haguf, by kedushas mizbeach, or kedushas klishovas, it's not a removable kedusha. Kedusha doesn't go off. It doesn't go off through pigeon. And who I did, it doesn't go off through me. It's the same reason. But using that mahalach, it would stand to reason that if you had a kedushas aguf that you could redeem, or you had kedushas abedek abayas that you cannot redeem, there should be mila achamila. We'll see that won't necessarily follow suit. But that's the simple way to read the Mishnah. Ketzad. If somebody rode a behemoth which belonged to kotchim, they're all moil in the hegdish, because since it has kedushas haguf, since it's a behemoth kol, so there's redundant mila. Shosa bekoshel zov, ubo chaveroi v'shosa, ubo chaveroi v'shosa, kulon moil, they're all moil. Okay, again, because since it's a klishoris, it keeps its status. Status stays. Tolash min achatos. If somebody pulls hair out of a Kol Mechatis, see, he's moil, and then whoever comes will keep on being moil for the same reason. Rebbe Yemel, Rebbe says, Kol Dovo Shein Lepidyon Yesh Boi Moil Acha Moil. Now Rebbe seems to unveil a new concept. Rebbe seems to say what we all along thought is the Pshat in the Mishnah. Right? So how do we read the Mishnah? There's no Moil Acha Moil except for Behemah Klishos. That's because there's no pidyon. That's the way we learn the Mishnah. But Rebbe, whatever Rebbe is going to be saying, which we'll see in the Gemara, there's two questions here. Number one, what is Rebbe adding to the Tanna Kamma in casework? What added case is Rebbe talking about? And then there's a secondary question. What Lumdisha thing is Rebbe adding? What way does he understand different than the Tanna Kamma understands? And so clearly we see that the simple reading of the Tanna Kamma is not the way we explain it. Simple reading of the Tanna Kamma holds pidyon and me'ila go together. And anything that can't be removed, any kedusha that can't be removed through pidyon, cannot be removed through me'ila. And since you can't redeem a klisharis and you can't redeem a kolton, so what then, by being moil, it's also not going to go out l'chum. No, well, not necessarily, because by a behemah you chayiv me'ila, even though the kedusha didn't go off, right? By a kol, when you rode the animal that was a chata, so you chayiv me'ila. Yes, did the kedusha go off? No. So they're not linked. But when you read the Mishnah simply, it seems that they are linked. Pidyon and me'ila go together. And if the thing is redeemable, and through the process of redemption the kedusha goes off, so if you're moil, me'il is a mirror version of pidyon. Pidyon is a permissive way to remove the kedusha, and me'il is a prohibitive way to remove the kedusha. But they both take the kedusha off, and therefore something which doesn't have a permissive way to remove the kedusha, so the kedusha won't go off if you do it in a prohibitive way either. That's pshat. That's how you learn the Mishnah Kepshuta. But if that would be the pshat, then Rebbe is coming in and he's saying something which is redundant. Now we'll see. Maybe the way the Gemara explains Rebbe, maybe we can work it out. But it's still difficult because the way Rebbe gets his case. So Rebbe says, no, kol dovah shein lo pidyon. Yesh boi moyel acha moyel. Anything which has no redemption, then if you do me'ila, the kedusha doesn't go off. So then the way we're explaining, that's exactly what the Tanna Kamma said. So it's true, we may find an example that Rebbe is talking about, and perhaps in that example that the Gemara is going to give us, there is a dispute between Rebbe and the Rabbanan whether pidyon works, right? So then, in a very simplistic way, we could say, you know what, we'll still go with our original pshat. Our original pshat is anything which you could redeem and make it chulun. By redeeming it, you can also make it chulun by being moil. And anything which you can't redeem, you can't make chulun. And the only thing is, there's grada, a case, which we're going to give in the Gemara, where Rebbe holds it is redeemable, and the Chachamim hold it's not redeemable. So the Lamdas could still go the same. Okay? The reason why I don't like that way of learning, although it's simple, it's easy, is because it comes out that Rebbe didn't address his main dispute with the Chachamim. If you learn that way, it means that Rebbe and the Chachamim are on one page. They both agree. As far as Me'ila is concerned, they both agree. They happen to have a machloikis about a particular item, whether it has redemption or doesn't have redemption. So then Rebbe should address his main point, which is, I hold wood, korban etzim, doesn't have redemption. Okay. But instead, Rebbe comes to Mishnah and he says, kol dovo, whatever Rebbe said, the Chachamim agree with. You follow what I'm saying? So I have difficulty saying that the machlekes is nothing more than whether korban etzim is yes a korban or not a korban. To me, that doesn't give me a good pshat mishnah, because if that's the case, then the only thing Rebbe should have said, Rebbe Yomer, etzim ein bohem yesh moyel hachamoyel be'etzim, because that's another item in the Beis Hamikdash that Rebbe holds is not redeemable, and the Chachamim hold it is redeemable. Instead, what the way Rebbe includes etzim is by making a rule, and if that rule is some rule that the Chachamim agree with, so he's not addressing the issue, and that's not easy to learn that way, to say that Rebbe is not addressing the issue that he's trying to bring out. Okay, so we'll get back to this Nakuda, the Sefer the Mishnah. The Reisha again talks about the Hanoah and the Pagam, and the fact that you need Hanoah and Pagam on one thing, one Maisa Me'ili. You can't have Hanoah and then Pagam separately. It has to be that the Hanoah and the Pagam are together. And therefore, if you have a half a Hanoah, half a Pruta Hanoah and a half a Pruta Pagam, it doesn't unite. Now, last week we began to discuss those things that require a pagam in order to be moil, which is most things that have a pagam that do get abused, right? That do get used. So, how does the pagam and the hanor integrate? And that was really the main nekuda that we were aiming on last week. How these two things link, pagam and hanor, meaning. Anything which has a pagam, which is what we're talking about here in our Mishnah, is the me'ilah the pagam, or is the me'ilah the hanor? And there's a tremendous chiluk in halach, because you can have an item that you were nehneh from it 100 prutas, and you were poigim 1 pruta. So you clearly were moya, because you had hanor and you had a pagam. So if the me'ilah is the devaluation, then you only pay for the pruta of the devaluation. But if the me'ilah is the hanor, there's just a condition that you're only called a moyel behekdish if you additionally will poigim, then you'll pay hekdish 100 prutas. So there's a tremendous difference in halacha. If you learn that and this is what we discussed last week, and we want to say it could be totally where you learn it from, and that was the whole hamshacha that we had last week. Now this is going to come to conclusion here. Because in this Mishnah, where it says, it doesn't really go into the potim of the pagam and the hanor, how much do you pay to hekdesh? That doesn't say clearly. But if I have here a tesis in Bava Metzia, Tosfos in Bava Metzia directly addresses this issue on Daf Tzadi Tes. And Tosfos says as follows. What happens if you were poigim somewhat? It's not on your mamakam, is this one. He says like this. The Gemara says that if somebody was shayel a kaldim l'chaveli, so he went ahead and he lent somebody an axe. Happens to be that axe belongs to Hekdesh. Okay, so I lend you an axe. The axe belongs to Hekdesh. And now you use the axe. Yeah. Now the shaila is, how much do I have to pay? Now Loch is I'm moil, not you. Not the user of the axe. I'm moil by lending you the axe. You didn't even know it was Hekdesh. I lent you an axe that belongs to Hekdesh. Now, what's my hanor when I lend you an axe? The hanor that I get is the appreciation, the toivus hanor that you have to me for lending you an axe, right? Whatever that hanor is. What's the pagam? The pagam is the use of the axe. That's a totally different amount. There's really, if we look at this case, there's three different categories that could be analyzed and linked to the me'ilah. How much do you pay? Clearly we know the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, you, the lender of the axe, pay the me'ilah. But now there are three possible payments that we could say you have to pay. Number one, you have to pay the hanor that you had from the axe. You, the lender. If we look at it that way, the hanor you had from the axe was an appreciation, the toivus hanor, that he has for you. Let's say it's 5 prutas. Five pruta of anor that you have to lend somebody an axe and he appreciates the fact that you lent it to him. That's one possible me'ila that we could say you have to pay. The second me'ila is that you have to pay the anor of the use. The anor of the use of the axe. Because you are the moil by facilitating that hana. The mi'ila is the use of the axe, which was a $10 use. Okay, if you went down to rent the metziah, right? So you pay $10 to rent the axe. So that usage was a $10 hana. You facilitated that by lending it to somebody. You paid it $10. One is, listen, I didn't have that hana. The hana that I, the lender, had was that he appreciates that I lent it to him.
It's not shlichus, right?
Not shlichus. This is a case. I'm mashal kardam l'chaveri. I give you a... So now everybody agrees I'm the moyo. The state beferish in the Gemara. I'm the moyo. Question is, how much? The Gemara doesn't say how much. So I'm telling you there are three possible payments. Payment number one, the tovus hana that I have to lend you the axe. So let's say that's one pruta that I get from lending you the axe. Possibility number two is the 10 prutas that it's worth, the use is worth. If you went ahead and rented a kli, that's what the use is worth. So now I was the one who facilitated that use by giving it to you to use. So I have to pay the 10 prutas. It's possibility number two. Possibility number three is just the pagam. The pagam, whatever the pagam was. The pagam could have been a pruta, the pagam could have been 10 prutas. Whatever the devaluation of the axes, that's what I have to pay. Those are three options that my payment could be. Which goes to the core of our shaila as well. If you use the axe, how much do you pay? Right? The only reason why I'm giving you the case of the lending, that happens to be where the Rishonim talk about it. But over there, the reason why over there it becomes more of an issue, because there is a third possibility. When I use the axe, there's only two possibilities. Either I pay the $10, the benefit of the use, or I pay the devaluation, which is the one pruta. Those are the two options. When I lend you the axe, there's a third possibility. Maybe I pay you the hano I get from lending it to you, because I didn't use the axe. Those are three options. So Toysa Sambo of Metziah has the shaila. Toysa says like this. Rashi is clear, by the way. Rashi says black and white. You have to pay how much a person would pay to have the hanor of lending somebody this object. So Rashi holds you don't pay the use, you don't pay the devaluation, you pay the toivus hanor. You pay what the hanor that you get to be a lender. The hanor of being a lender, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says it clearly right here above Metziah. Rashi says, "Oimdim kama hoyeroi tzeli esnechse mishaloi sheyachzik hashoyel toivus hano." How much would you pay that the guy should appreciate you for doing what you did? That's Rashi. That's Rashi's pshat. But Tosfos comment says as follows: Hoyonigalui l'chayra. First, he says l'chayra. I would say sheyotza kol akardim b'chulin. First of all, the axe becomes chul. Why not? We're not talking about an axe, which is a klisharis. An axe is not a klisharis. So the axe was just property of Hekdesh Berek Abayis. It goes l'chum. So as soon as you lend the axe, the whole axe becomes chum. So potentially you should pay for the whole axe. Potentially. Right? That's already possibility number four. The whole axe. I lend you the axe becomes chum. Now it's like I took the axe from Hekdesh. And now I have to pay Hekdesh the $100 that the axe is worth. Tosfos is now unveiling another possibility. He doesn't say it. He just says the axe becomes chum.
And he doesn't have to use it.
Doesn't have to use it at all. I lent it to him. Then he says like this. Umikomoko im loimal elo l'toivas hanoa sheboy. Like Rashi. Two extremes, Tosfos is saying. He's saying, what happens is that when I lend you the axe becomes completely chum. That axe, so basically what I did when I lent you the axe was I took the whole axe out of the Rishus Hekdesh. It's a gzela. I took the axe belongs to you. Not Hekdesh. But he says, I only have to pay back, Hekdesh is ending up losing. I only have to pay Hekdesh the hanor that I have to lend you. That's what he says, l'chayr. But then he says like this. Afapisha hefsit kulay lehektish. Hektish is losing. Ulefize, he says, what would be the halacha myself? Who adin benoitel even a kairish or hektish? Loimal el ufi toivis anoshaboy. But then he says no. Venira lari, she'ena yoitse lechulin, elo oisoi hano shenoisin lechoyim. Doesn't become chum. Big Chiddush Tosfos says. He says, even though our Mishnah seems to say that any object that doesn't have Kedushas Haguf, that's not either a korban or a Kli Shavas, or Rebbe has another case, becomes chum. When you use it, it goes out to chum. He says, mashal is something else. Only the hanor is going to chum, not the whole object. He says, but if you give it to your friend as a gift, then the meal is on the whole object. Malafikula. That's what he says. He says, Vim Toima, says Taisus. Kivon the Benosan Lachaveiro Malafikoma Shoitzi Meshus Hegdish. So Gam Khan, Yimo Lafikoma Sheshova Hanos Pikula. He says, now that I'm saying that if you took the axe and you gave it to your friend, not lent it to him, you took an axe of Hektish and you gave it to him, so that would be called a complete mila, and the mila would be the whole value of the axe, the $100 that the axe is worth. He says, so now that I'm giving my friend the use of the axe, the $10 use of the rent of Metzia, so now the mila should be on the $10. Tosfos is questioning himself. Why do you only pay for the hana that you have to be a lender? Just like if I would have taken the object and given it to him, I would have had to pay for the whole axe. So basically, I have to give Hektish whatever I gave him. So if I lent it to him, what did I give him? I gave him the use of the axe. The use of the axe is $10. Why do I only have to pay a pluta? That's the closest cash.
What happens to the axe after the loan is over?
Give it back to Hektish. No, but I'm saying he's saying, meaning, what do you see? From, what I'm trying to tell you is what you see from Tosfos is that Tosfos at this point holds that the pagam and the hanor, when they're together, you don't pay just the pagam. You pay the hanor. Because otherwise, what's Tosfos asking? That's my point. Our whole question here was, when you use an object of Hekdesh, what do you owe Hekdesh? The price of a rent, forget if the object is becoming chum. Assuming it's a klishoris and a behem, it's not becoming chum. I rode, the Mishnah says, if I rode a behem of Hektish, right? I have to pay Hektish. Right? If I pull out hair from a behem of Hektish, how much do I have to pay? Do I pay how much Hektish got devaluated? Or do I pay hano that I got? If I rode a behem of Hektish, so that riding would normally cost $100. I have to pay $100. Well, do we say, well, the animal lost about 10 cents in its value. So you owe Hektish 10 cents. Tosfos seems to be saying that, at least at this point, that when you use Hektish really logically, you should pay Hektish the whole use that you had, even though the devaluation was a fraction of that use, which is the core of our shaila. My shaila to you is, how much, we spoke about this last week, how much, when you use Hekdesh, how much do you have to pay? Do you pay the Hanor, do you pay the Pagan? It's what? No, if he's lent, that's the whole point of Tosfos. You're missing the point, Yidl. The whole point of Tosfos is that when you lend it, it's not called a Shini Rishus. That's the whole Chiddush of Tosfos. Tosfos says if you give it to him, it's a Shini Rishus, and that's why the whole thing goes out L'chum. Tosfos' whole Chiddush over there, that's Tosfos' main Chiddush. Tosfos' main Chiddush is, even though Shoyo Shalemidah is Gazlanu, so normally we say if I borrow something from you without your permission, I'm not stealing the value. Let's say I borrow your horse without your permission. I'll Zbova Metzia. I'll Zbova Metzia, we don't look at it like I stole the use of your horse. I stole the horse. I'm chayef to pay for the horse now. I have to pay kefil on the horse. I'm a ganif. Right? Shoyo Shalemidah is a regular ganif. I owe the horse. It's mechayiv an achrayus. It's like I stole it. Tosfos chiddush in Bava Metzia, and Rav Shach has a long shir on this where he tries to understand that Tosfos in Bava Metzia. Tosfos seems to hold that even though by chulin, shayol shaloi midas, right? If I borrow something from you without your knowledge, I'm not a borrower. Even though I intend to give it back to you, that doesn't make a difference. If I go into your domain and I borrow it, gneve is loy tzorich kavona, like mitzvah saying tzorich is kavona. Gzeil is loy tzorich kavona. If I go into your garage and I take your car out, even though I just want to take it for a spin, I'm a gazlan on the car. I'm not a gazlan on the youth. I'm a gazlan on the car. Tosfos in Bava Metzia is saying a chiddush that by hektish there's a different rule. By hektish, if I take something from hektish, I give it as a loan to somebody, we don't look at it like the object went out of the rishus hektish, just the use went out of the rishus hektish. That's all. Huh? We'll have to see. That's another difficulty. We're trying to get through each difficulty. It's a very difficult solution. We're trying to get through the difficulties systematically, otherwise we'll drown. So, but Tosfos clearly seems to say that either you can look at it like, since I borrowed the object from Hektish, it goes completely out of Rishus Hektish. He says no. He says when you lend it to somebody, it's just that lending that's going out of the Rishus Hektish, not the whole object. Getting back to Yidl's case, so there's no Shini Rishus. Tosfos says, still in all, the Me'ila should be the whole use. So if the use was $10 worth, that's what you should pay. Not the one pruta of the valuation of the axe. Tosfos says you should pay the whole pruta, the whole 10 prutas, the whole use. So Tosfos says like this. He says, L'chayra gam kan. So Tosfos clearly says, if you take an axe from Hekdesh and you have in mind just to use it, so in a chanami, the axe won't go out of Hekdesh's rishos. This is all tremendous chidushin from Tosfos. Tremendous chidushin. But he says, but you should pay for the use, not just the. So Tosfos says, in a chanami. He says, v'yesh loyma. Dinu sheyimol lefi kuloi. He says, really, he says, you're right. The din is that you should be moil lefi kuloi. Avol b'mashil, when you borrow something, lo yifsid lehegdish, elo kamo shenifchas hakaldim al yidei abikua. V'yishalim es toivas anor da'avi yosha. So Tosfos says like this, you give Hektish the most of these two hanois. Meaning, we have either the hano that you have by being a lender, or we have the devaluation of the object. And Tosfos says the Tosfos hano is actually more. And that's what you give Hektish. This is you give whatever's more. This is what he says clearly. And then he ends off by saying, the b'mashal mishalim es hayoyser mibein ashnayim. This, by the way, is this Tosfos is in Daf Tzadi Tesam et Aleph. If you want to look up the Tosfos, it's in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Tesam et Aleph. V'mapagam yoyser mishalim oyser. Okay. The bottom line is the end of Tosfos is clear that you pay the complete. You pay the bigger, it seems from Tosfos says you pay the bigger price. Meaning, if your hano is more, then you pay your hano. If the pagam is more, you pay the pagam. According to Tosfos, it goes by the higher number of the two. So if your if a hano you got from Hektish was more, then you pay your hano. Right, if your hano was more, then you pay. So if your hano was $10 and the pagam was $1, you pay 10. And if it's the other way around, if the pagam was 10 and the hano was 1, then you pay 1. That's what the Azish Tate and Tazis. Because you always pay the higher price. We'll get to this. This very much fits what we said last week in Tazis Shita. But okay. This is l'chayr what Tosfos says. Now, if we look in the Rambam here, if you can turn to the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, let's just read the next Mishnah. Then I'll take your question. Let's just read the next Mishnah. Mishnah says like this: Notal even a koira shall hekdish. If you take a stone or beam of hekdish from hekdish, hareze loy moil. You're not moil. Okay, the Gemara is going to say it's talking about a gizbar, because otherwise, like he said, then you're taking out of a rishus hekdish. The gizbar didn't take it out of a rishus hekdish. He is the rishus hekdish. So taking the rock or stone is nothing. But if he was nost of a chaveroi, if you give it to somebody, the beam or the rock, moil. The chaveroi moil. Now this would be moil the whole thing, because you took the whole item out of the rishus hekdish. The whole thing. I took the beam, I gave it to my friend. Here, take it. It's yours. Huh? He was shalech yad. He had a mind now to use it in his building. He held it for himself. So basically, he did a shalech yad. So in Bava Metzia, he'd be a gazlan. Right? In Bava Metzia, you're a gazlan even b'machshava. If you're holding an object of somebody else and you have das to be shalech yad. So here he took the beam for himself, but since he is the Rishus Hekdesh, he's the Gizbar, so he's got to do an act for it to be called that it went out of the Rishus Hekdesh. Because right now he is the Rishus Hekdesh. The Gizbar is the Rishus Hekdesh. So it has to go out. So the Mishnah says like this: Nosna bona besech besoy. If you build it into your house, so the Gemara will say this means you didn't do a shinui. If you did a shinui, that would be meila. You put it on the roof, but there was a hole there, you laid it on top of the roof. So you didn't do our actual, you didn't build it. So then as soon as you use it, you have to go ahead and live underneath it the value of a shavaprut. You have to have a shavaprut from the beam. It's ein bet pekam. Ein bet. Not our pruta shel hekdish. Same thing. The gizbar takes a pruta of hekdish for himself. Loimah. Reza loimah. Nasta l'chaveri humah v'chaveri loimah. There's no meal. Your friend, you were moil, your friend wasn't. Nos no le balon. What happens if you paid a bathhouse attendant with the money of hekdesh? In the olden days, you'd go to the bathhouse, you buy a ticket. You pay for the ticket, and then you get a pass to the bathhouse. Question is, when are you moil? Are you moil when you give the money to the hekdesh money, when you give it to the bathhouse, or are you moil when you use the bathhouse? So the Mishnah says, because now I have a pass. I have a pass right now. I could use it. And the Mishnah says, you go in and use it. No problem. So therefore, there's no issue. This is already we had quoted before. If you have ano and your friend has ano, ano sev ano has chaveri. Achilos sev ano has chaveri. Ano sev achilos chaveri. Whether it's your eating in his hanor or the other way around, mitstafim zeim zev afilus mamagub. This we already had earlier. Comes the Rambam here in the Pirush Mishnayos, and the Rambam seems to sing a different tune than Tosfos. Tosfos we have in Bava Metzia is telling us that you always give hekdesh the bigger number. If your hanor is the bigger number, you give hekdesh the bigger number, right? You always give hekdesh the bigger number. If the hanor that you got is the bigger number, you give hekdesh that. If the devaluation is the bigger number, you give hekdesh that. Now let's look at the Rambam here in the Pirush Mishnayos. Comes the Rambam, and the Rambam is analyzing how much do you pay when you give your friend this beam, or you give your, how much do you pay now? Because this is very unique here. I gave him the beam. I didn't lend him the beam, I gave him the beam. Right, so the whole beam now went out of the Rishus Hekdesh. Right, according to the Tosfos that we had in Bava Metzia, you pay for the whole beam. Now you're moiled in the whole beam because now the whole thing went out. That's Tosfos says. Comes the Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, and the Rambam is dealing with this point. It's right in the back. Some of the Masechtas, it's all the way in the back. all the way in the back of the Masechta. So the Rambam says like this, that all in the back of the Masechta, after Talmud and Kinnah. So the Rambam says like this, it's a fascinating Rambam. Here the whole beam becomes chum. You took a beam, right? I took the beam of Hetish. It could be a micro lamb. It could be worth $1,000. I gave it to somebody. I didn't sell it to somebody. I gave it to somebody. If I sold it to somebody, the Rambam holds you have to pay the whole $1,000. But I didn't sell it to somebody. I gave it to somebody. So the pleasure that I got was less. Okay? I gave it to somebody. So the Rambam says like this. Look, the Rambam, not all heaven, kisha not all heaven, a kairos shel hekdesh. Afa pi shepogam. Listen to this. You did, the valuation was tremendous. The whole item went out of the domain of hekdesh. Right? The complete item left hekdesh. So the damage was insurmountable. The complete object. So hekdesh now lost $1,000 on you. They were going to sell that beam for $1,000. They lost $1,000. Says the Rambam, Afa pi shepogam, lefi shechosa min hekdesh hadover ahu. Because now Hekdesh doesn't have this anymore. Loimol ad sheyehene. You need Hanah. So the Rambam is saying, here there was a complete pagam. Hekdesh lost now $1,000. But they lost $1,000 not by going into my domain, by going into my friend's domain. I only had the Hanah that he likes me, that I gave him a beam. That's maybe worth $25. I have to pay Hekdesh $25. This is up to Rambam. He says, "Ukshayitein oise lachaveiro inene umoal." When you give it to your friend, you're moil. How much are you moil? He says, "You're moil." Betoivas ano sheboloi. You're moil the toivas ano that you get from the fact that your friend is very happy with you that you gave him an expensive beam. Which is completely, the Tosfos that we had over here says, Mamish Fakir. Right? Tosfos says, Clear Mal Fikula in such a case. Okay. So clearly we see there's a significant machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. Clearly. In how to understand our sugya. Our sugya clearly is saying you need hana, you need pagam. And they have to be linked. And they have to be on one object. Clearly. But I think what's unquestionable is that according to the Rambam, mi'ila is always on hana. Mi'ila is based on hana that you're getting. And therefore, it doesn't matter how much pagam Hekdesh is going to have, that's not what makes me'ilu. What makes me'ilu is your hanor. And if the hanor that I got is only $10, even if Hekdesh had a $1,000 loss, doesn't make a difference. I only pay the $10 of hanor that I had from Hekdesh. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Tosfos, on the other hand, holds that the gzeila that's taking place from Hekdesh is happening through two elements. One is the hanor, and one is the pagam. And those are two separate elements that you're taking from Hekdesh. And the chiddush of the original Mishnah was that whenever you have something that has a pagam, you're not called a gazlan from Hekdesh unless you did both. Unless you did hanor and pagam. But just like if I steal somebody's object and I devaluate it, of course I have to pay for the devaluation, even if I didn't get pleasure from it. Because that's also part of what I'm stealing. So according to Tosfos, the Hanor and the Pagam are linked, but yet they are independent. Each one can trigger an obligation, according to Tosfos. And that's what Tosfos means in Bava Metzia. The Rambam, on the other hand, is a Ruach Achera Simoi. And it fits the Rambam that we discussed last week. The Rambam has a whole different Shita. The Rambam Shita is, there is no Gezel Chiyuv Tashlume Gzela from Hekdesh. The Chiyuv of Me'il is Hanor. Hanor Min HaHekdesh. So even though you caused Hekdesh a huge loss, but if your Hanoah was a much smaller level Hanoah, then you only pay your Hanoah. That's the bottom line. That's what comes out from the Rambam. Now, if you stole the beam for yourself, then you had $1,000 Hanoah. Now, whether you decide to use the beam or not use the beam, that's your decision. But the Hanoah is there. You now took $1,000 Hanoah from Hekdesh. That the Rambam is masking that you have to pay for the whole thing. The Rambam is only talking about in this case where the Me'ilah is happening through the transfer of domain. So I'm not taking the $1,000 Hanoah. He is. And he's not being Moyel because he's not the one that knew it was Hekdesh. I'm the Moyel. So now we got to link my pleasure with the fact that it went into his Rishus. Basically, if we had to draw a clear line, the $1,000 Pagam Shimon is doing, right? The facilitator, the Moyel, Reuven is the facilitator. He's causing the $1,000 Pagam to happen, right? To Hekdesh. But the Hanoah is only $25. Because the Hanoah is only what I, the Moyo, have experienced.
The moment he takes it into the Rishus.
I didn't take it into my Rishus.
You did. You had to take it to give it to
No, this is the Gizbar. It's already in his domain. The Gizbar, when he's holding it, it's still in the domain of Hekdesh. That's why we said if the Gizbar takes it, puts it into his closet, he's not Moyo at all. Even though he intends to use it for himself. But the intention doesn't change anything, the Mishnah says. Even when he takes it and puts it into his own. Let's say he has in his own house, he has a shed where he wants to use for building material. He takes the beam, he puts it into his shed. There's no Me'ilah. Because the Gizbar is Rishus Hekdesh. So when he takes it out of the shed, it's still in his domain. The only time it becomes Chul and it goes out of the domain of Hekdesh is when my friend gets it. So when he gets it. So really what's happening is the Pagam is happening through him. He's having a Pagam and a Hanoah, my friend. Shimon is really the beneficiary of both, the Pagam and the Hanoah.
But then it's out of Hekdesh already.
Number one, it's out of Hekdesh. And number two, the Moyel is the one, is the facilitator. Shimon doesn't even know it's Hekdesh. Shimon is no different than a monkey. Shimon is like a monkey. Shimon is a monkey. Shimon is the monkey here. He's not. That's like he doesn't know it. He's not doing any active role. He's a beneficiary. He's not called a moil at all. The moil is the one that's doing the act.
The Rambam is consistent with the fact that if he went over it and he just destroyed it, he's just fucked it completely. No, there's no
meal
whatsoever.
No, it depends. The gizbar would be potter. That's Mazik Hekdesh is potter. That's the example of Makdesh Hekdesh is potter. That's the halacha of Bava. Right? Shoreyehu v'loy shor Hekdesh. If you're Mazik Hekdesh, you're potter.
That's consistent with the Rambam.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No. Toysus also agrees with that. Because there is no Hanoah. Toysus also agrees you need to have Hanoah. But Toysus holds Hanoah is a requirement and Pagam is a requirement. But there's an umbrella on top called Gzela. And you have to pay for the Gzela that took place, provided that you meet the criteria. This is what's critical to understand. Toysus holds, there's one big umbrella. The umbrella on top is Gzela. Like Abchaim discusses, of Shimon. There's one umbrella on top, it's called Gzela. Now, in order for you to be Chayiv when you're Gzela from Hekdesh, you need to have two components. And that there's no Machlekes Rambam and Toysus. It's a Mishnah. You need Hanoah and Pagam. You need to have Hanoah from the object, and you need to devaluate the object. Everybody agrees to that. There's no Machlekes. Machlekes is, what is the term Machayiv you for? Is the term Machayiv you for the Hanoah? Is that what the term is being Machayiv you? So the Rambam says yes. The Rambam says, whenever you pay Hekdesh, it's not for Heshiv, it's not Gzela Shagosa. You're paying for the Hanoah. That could also be called Gzela, but the Hanoah, only Hanoah is what you pay for from Hekdesh. The Pagam is a requirement that's needed. You will never pay more than your Hanoah, because that's what you were moyel. Anything more than that is like Mazik is potter, Gozel is potter. Has to be Hanoah, according to the Rambam. Toysus, on the other hand, says no. You are paying Tashlume Gzela, what you took from Hekdesh. What did you take from Hekdesh? Hanoah and Pagam. whatever number is greater, like we would treat any Gazan. Because there's a miyut that Makdish is potter. Mazik is somebody who's not having anor from Hekdish. There's a miyut. If not for the miyut, the Mazik would be chayiv too. The Torah was mamayit, a Mazik. So now it's very geschmack. So the Rambam says over here where Reuven gives Shimon the beam, so the pagam is $1,000, but the anor is only 25. Only pay $25. Tosfos on the other hand, who says you got to pay Hekdish what Hekdish lost? This, yes, it has to be that there's Hanor, because otherwise it's not Mila. But there was Hanor. I don't care if the Hanor was $1,000, the Hanor was $25. So this is really the introduction. Now at least we could go into the Sugya. Obviously, we're not going to do it today, but at least now we have our hands in the Sugya to be able to go further. You had a kasha, I'm sorry. Is it still Shreya? Yeah. 30,000
dollars? 30,000 foot level, what we pay is a punishment. And we should only be punished.
So again, $30,000 is what level?
30,000 foot level.
Just ask the question.
Here's the question. A punishment should go to the root of that which you did wrong. So it should somehow.
Oh, one second. Who says meal is a punishment? Anybody agree that meal is a punishment?
No, I'm not saying it.
Meal is a monetary obligation. Meal is a debt. It's a debt. Why are you punishing the guy for? The chaimish you could say is a punishment. The korban you could say is a punishment. Meal is a payment. Meal is a debt. Tosfos in Bava Kama says that you could learn out a kal v'chaimish for tashlumei boyer. So Rav Gusman says chetzadik v'loch in his shiurim. In his kuntres hashiurim above a metziah, he says, "How could you make a kal v'chomer for above a kama? We know ain oinshim in adin." So Rav Gusman says a great vort. He says, "Tashlumei choiv is not an oinish." Some people look at it that way. That's why they don't pay any choivers. It's a monetary obligation. He says that's not a choiv. It's a debt. By me'ila, the Torah said that when you use hektish, you owe Hekdish money. The question is, you have to compensate Hekdish. It's not a punishment, it's an obligation. The Chaimish is a punishment. The Korban is a punishment. The Karen is the Karen. Now the question is, what is the Karen? What is the principal payment? So here we have two possible Karen. The Hanor, the pleasure that you had, or the devaluation.
Shouldn't that go back to...
So the Rambam holds that just like there's a din that you don't pay tashlumei nezikin to Hekdish, Hekdish is no din, you only pay tashlumei mi'ilah. And mi'ilah by definition is pleasure. That is mi'ilah. Anything outside of that, you can call it whatever you want, it's not mi'ilah. So you don't pay for that. You pay for pleasure. Pleasure is mi'ilah, that's what you're paying for. Period. Tosfos says no. There's mi'ilah, there's pagam. You're paying tashlumei gzeilah. You're paying for what you stole. And you stole, Tosfos says, you stole both. You stole the pleasure and you stole the hefset. And therefore, it just happens to be that you need those two components in order to be chayiv. You need pleasure and devaluation. But once the two components are there, you're a thief. Now we say, okay, what did you steal? You stole both components. Your stealing included both components. So whichever number is greater and includes the other number, that's what you pay. That's Tosfos. So really, as we go into the sugya, and now in Mitzvah, you'll see next week, everything will become clear in the sugya. But this is the first thing we have to go through and understand, that there are two completely different approaches from Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos holds you're paying for, you steal, it's Tashlum Egzela. You stole from Hekdash. What did you steal? The valuation and the pleasure. And either number is the number that you have to pay, whichever one is greater. Whichever one includes the other one. Whichever number will include the other one, that's what you have to pay for. That's all. Simple.
Isn't the payment...
The Rambam holds no. Mi'ilah is pleasure. That's it. Pagam happens to be a condition. In order for you to be chayav for the pleasure, there had to be a devaluation. If there wasn't a devaluation, you don't owe for the pleasure. But you're only paying for pleasure.
Isn't the payment...
Okay, well officially, stop what you can do.